I'd like to welcome you to the ministry of McCormick's Creek Church. We certainly hope that you will enjoy this selection.
Hallelujah. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Before I start, I'm going to take up the offering. And if you give, as the Lord has blessed you. I know I had the musicians to go down, singers. I feel led just to get right into things. Man, it feels really good in here tonight. Isn't the Lord good? He's on time with every move that he makes. He's very strategic of how he moves. I closed my eyes for a minute, and I don't think it was a coincidence, and I don't get too many visions, but I saw water rise, a purifier just flow through here. And I know the ocean sometimes comes up on the beaches, and all that junk that gets on the beaches, the tide comes in, and then after the tide leaves, all of a sudden all the trash is gone. I noticed that when I was in Australia, and I got up the next morning, that all the trash on the beach was gone. It was because the water came and took it out. I don't know where it goes. It may go to Chicago or somewhere like that, but all I know is it went. And I saw water just flush through here and just purify things. I'm thankful for moves of God like that that we certainly need. And it happens on when you least expect it. You expect it to happen on Sunday night or Sunday, you know, when we had church. And you may be seated. I'm going to read. I feel very strongly led to tonight to give a word of encouragement. And I know that the Lord, his greatest desire is to use a church that is willing. And I sincerely believe that God he waits on people to get in positions so he can utilize us. And I don't believe there's anybody here as great as you all are. That's a compliment. Great as you are, you have not reached your potential. I don't think you've seen your better days behind you. Even our elders, I want to tell our elders, when you had more energy, when you felt like you had more ability, I don't believe that that was your best days. I believe that the Lord is not only raising a new generation, but he works with our elders and takes us to different places. And I believe that we are seeing the greatest days before us. God would not call us if he didn't think we were qualified. One thing I want to point out, and I'm going to talk about being the light of the world. You can post my title behind me, and you don't have to stand because I'm going to read about five verses. But I want to say this: when God called Moses, it was a huge job. It was a very specific job, and he knew it was going to take somebody with some boldness. And God calls Moses to deliver the people of God. Talking about millions of people here. This is a job that these people had been glued and rooted in a place for 430 years. That was their homes. That was all they knew. They were born there. They were mentally, they knew nothing else. Matter of fact, even though they were slaves, thinking about any other place, regardless how good it was going to be, it was a scary thing because men and women are creatures of habit. And even though they were slaves to where they were at, they grew comfortable there. And so God knew when he called Moses to call his people out of Egypt, he knew it was going to be a big job. And Moses absolutely knew it was going to be a big job. That's why he looks at God when he's having the conversation through the burning of the bush on the backside of the desert. God says, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses understood the magnitude of that job. And Moses, the first thing out of his mouth was not, man of God should have been, it should have been, yes, let's do this. Let's get these people out of there. He cared enough to kill an Egyptian because he was mean to one of his brethren. And he should have stood up and immediately said, let's get this thing done. Let's go in there and we're going to kick him in the teeth and we're going to pull our people out of there and we're going to get out of there. No, what he did, the first thing he did was, look, I'm incapable. And he began to point to God all of his own flaws as if God didn't have the ability to call him. And as if God didn't know what he was talking about when God called him. So he begins to point. God knew his flaws. He knew the hair, counting the hair on his head. He knew everything. He knew every thought that he ever thought. He knew everything about him. He knew every failure that he had ever experienced. And Moses is standing there telling God, this is my flaws, and this is why I can't do what you've called me to do. But God understood that it wasn't going to happen under the talent and abilities of Moses. He knew Moses was incapable. That's why he met him in the desert. That's why he caught that burning bush on fire and showed him his power. And said, look, you're not going to go by yourself. And remember, he told him a lot of things. One thing, he said, look, I'm going to use the hand of the Egyptians to drive my people out. But I'm going to use you as a mouthpiece. And I just want to talk a little bit tonight about being the light of the world. And I want to just say this at the very beginning. Every single one of you, even though you may present yourself to be real confident, that every one of you have insecurities within yourselves and uncertainty within yourselves, an unsureness in yourself. You ever seen somebody that was just so, act like they were full of confidence, they talked loud, they spoke loud, they acted really, and you looked at them and said, man, I wish I had their confidence. Let me tell you about confident people. Every one of those people, everybody that's around you, regardless what you have insecurities. My pastor, Cecil Sullivan, my old pastor, Cecil Sullivan, he's still a voice in my life, considered one of the pastors in my life. Cecil Sullivan, he was just the most bold man, most prominent speaker. He'd stand in a podium and you go, man, that guy's confident. Man, that guy, he has it all together. He's preached in front of thousands of people in the Philippines and seen miracle signs and wonders, seen legs grow out, seen withered hands grow out, seen deaf ears open, seen blinded eyes open, seen the dead raised over and over and over. It happened at the hand of his ministry. His wife told my mama one time, their best sisters, Carolyn and my mom, were best friends. They shared a birthday, and every year on their birthdays, except for when they were in the Philippines, they went out to eat until the day my mama passed. When they came back from the Philippines, they would go out to eat. And my mom, she told my mom, my mom made this statement to her, said, man, Brother Sullivan, he just seems so confident. And Sister Carolyn said, something that you don't know about my sonny. What she called Brother Sullivan. She calls him Sonny. She said, he is one of the most insecure people that you've ever met. But he hides it. And that, I was glad to know it, because I used to think, he's the guy that paddled me at school first, and I was scared to death. I was terrified of Brother Sullivan. He's like a big teddy bear. I love him to death. If you ever sat with him, you'll realize he's one of the most kindest, gentlest men. But if you see him from the congregation out or talking to people, you would go, wow, I'm scared of that guy. I was at Because of Times one time, and I forget, there was a very prominent preacher in our movement. I won't mention any names, but he saw Brother Sullivan over there, and he's all prominent. Nice, he's got that real good hair. Brother Sullivan standing over there, and he's in the Bible bookstore over there, G.A. Mangan Center. And there was a guy, he kept standing there looking at Brother Sullivan. I was like, why is he looking at me? Finally, he stepped over there and looked at Brother Sullivan and said, I've been wanting to meet you for a long time, but my goodness, you intimidate me. Brother Sullivan, this was a guy that was getting ready to preach Because of Times. Brother Sullivan goes, well, my goodness, and he shakes his hand and pulls him to him, and he acted all like he was just so bold, but inside of him there were some insecurities. And so I want to let you know that despite what you see on how people act, there are insecurities in each one of us. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Caleb, Joshua, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Bartholomew, John the Beloved. They was all insecure. Matter of fact, Jesus showed insecurity, hear me, in his flesh. And he was, there were some things that he was uncertain about in his flesh. That was, and maybe I should say, a very true act of humility, but he was limited. There were things that he chose not to know, but he subjected himself in the flesh. So just know that in the flesh, we're all weak. He was without sin. I'll point that out. Jesus was always perfect, never failed, never sinned, but he was in his flesh. He chose to be limited. But the only way that we can win this world, because you can't do it on your own. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good looking you are. I don't care how talented you are. You cannot win people with your own personality. Before long, people will be around you and they'll notice that you have flaws and inabilities, and you'll show them your shortcomings. But what we all have to realize that we need help. And so, we were designed that way. So I want to hurry up, and I don't have a lot of time. I may have to go 10 minutes past my time, but I'll get through that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form, and it was void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now notice something. God did not have to create darkness. It was already there. It was already there. There was no place here where it said that he created darkness. The Bible says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said with his mouth, he said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And the Bible says, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and then the morning were the first day. Now hear me. He did not create darkness. It was already there. Because darkness is something that is void light. Now the Bible says that he separated the darkness. He separated it. What he did was, there was a time of the 24-hour period that he removed the light. You know, we know all the scientific way that light, all the flat earthers don't agree, but he literally took the sun and he put it on the other side. It was a shield, and that's why we've got night. So darkness, it was a thing on its own, but light is an amazing thing. And I just want to state a few facts. So give me a few minutes and I'll get through this. And then I want to tell you something. And it's a great thing. There is nobody here today that is alive without light. You have to have it. I don't know if you can even try to function without light. Brother Charles Davis told me a story one time of him and Sister Mana at some cave that I've never been that deep in a cave, but and experienced complete darkness. Now you can go into your house and you turn out all the lights, but you've got DVD players and little lights on your apostolic monitors. And your computers and your phones. And so I've never seen complete darkness. But Brother Davis said he went to that mouth of the cave, and the guide showed, he warned them. He said, I'm just going to tell you that when I turn out the lights, it's going to be complete darkness. And there are actually people that have to be warned, and they have to haul out of there, because when there's complete darkness, they can't comprehend that. It's not a natural thing to be where there is no light. Brother Davis said, he told me, he said, the older I get, I realize that I couldn't handle that. It was just a shock to go from being where there was some light to where there was absolutely darkness. And I don't think that I would like to be in that. But we don't realize how much we lean on light to live. My boys remind me every single night that how much they need light. I just, matter of fact, left the house a little bit ago, and I walked through and I shut Tyler's light off in his bedroom. I shut Jacob's light off in his bedroom, and I shut Tyler's closet light off. They have to have light, lights on in the bathroom, closet lights, lights in the DVD players and the CD players, light coming from electronics. And I woke up about 4 o'clock this morning and Tyler had the light on. Left the VCR on all night long. And you know, whether he does it on purpose, but there are times where you just don't like to be in the dark. When you walk into their room at night, everything is glowing. Like, even if they shut their lights off, it looks like the cockpit of a Star Wars what is that ship that you walked in? It was just all these lights off. And so, realize that lights, what'd I say? I don't know. I'm just going. Whatever. I'm telling y'all with all the stuff. So lights, very important. And at the very beginning, the first thing that God did, he realized the importance, created the earth and all that, but it was without form and void. And so the very first thing God created other than the earth was light, because he knew that if there was ever going to be life after creation, that we needed light. Bible, the earth was without form and void. Void literally means empty. And the only thing on the earth was water. The Bible says that the darkness was on the face of the waters. Darkness was everywhere. You couldn't go anywhere where there wasn't darkness. It's awesome to me that God created the heaven and the earth without light. Tell me how great he is. God worked in the dark and created the whole world in the dark. But it's important to understand that the darkness was present only because light was absent. Darkness is not a substance. Darkness is not a force or an energy. It has no power. Matter of fact, you can have a big old box, you could seal it, and you could bring it into a lighted room, and you could seal it off. Inside that box is complete darkness. If you bring it into a lighted room and open the box, the darkness is not going to have an impact on the lighted room because it carries no power. It has no substance when light is present. But you could be in a dark cave and light one match and that whole cave be lit up by one match, because light is an influencer. It has power behind it. And that's the way God intended it to be. When light comes, darkness has no choice but to leave. When God spoke light into existence at creation, he brought life along with the light in the world. Life is the source of light. Light is the source of life. It sounds simple, but it's very complex. All of God's creation is affected by the interaction of light and matter. When light interacts with matter and energy, it is exchanged in the form of protons. This energy travels through space and only becomes effective when it hits an object that absorbs that energy. We all know that without light, we would be in trouble. Light causes life, and without it, it would be chaos. Every plant that you have in your garden is there because that you had light. There's some plants that you can have too much light. And you can have plants that need light all the time. And without light, there would be no life. The light of the sun is what heats this earth. We can only survive only within a few very narrow ranges of temperatures. And God, it's wonderful how he created the heaven and earth, because he placed the sun, which is the visual light, in a very strategic place. Scientists have said that if it was moved just a mile or two further away, it would have affected all life on the earth. And if you would have put it a little closer, you'd be like you're living in Mississippi. It'd be too hot. The awesome part about when God created the light, he did it with the right thing, because you can have too much light and have not enough light. There are places in Alaska where they've done studies where it is dark for 24 hours a day. I forget how many days it is, but they have done studies and they say that the most depressed people on the face of the planet live in Alaska. And that happens when light is not there. And some of y'all that are night owls, you say, well, I like it dark all the time. You could only handle it for so long, Brother Chris, without light. Before long, you would say, I need some sunshine. I love winter time, but about February and March, I'm saying, you know what? It's time for April to come. I need some heat. Even you. So here's the facts. All the food comes from plants and animals. Animals survive from plants. Plants require sunlight to survive. Most of us learned that in science class. It is the biological conversion of light energy into chemical energy. Plants need it. Captures energy from light and combine the carbon dioxide and water to produce oxygen. Oxygen is what we breathe in when we breathe out carbon dioxide, which the plants combine with light to begin this life cycle. And everything hinges off of whether we have light. I'm saying all that to tell you this. Because light is a natural life source. God knew in a lost and dying world that just as the plant life and our oxygen depends on light, just as the things in the natural need light, people in the spiritual world need a beacon and a light. I understand that Jesus is that light. God is light. Jesus is the light. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life comes from the power source of light. Let me go before I get into deeper, and I don't have a lot of time. Genesis 1, 16 through 17, the Bible says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. It says that God made two lights, the sun and the moon, and God made the stars. The source of light is not the sun or the moon or the stars, but the source of the light is God. So light in itself is not a power source in itself, but it receives its energy and ability to shine from God. 1 John 1 through 5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and I declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's an awesome thing to know, that even though that the conditions of our world, as bad as they may be, if you've got God, you've got life. Amen. Yeah. I mean, that's why even when you don't see the physical evidence of light, you can still have the joy of the Lord in your life. The Bible says that weeping may endure in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Let me give you a little revelation about that. We equate the morning with the evidence of the light of the sun, right? Morning, it's morning time. But really, when you study the scripture, you realize that the morning is 12:01 it starts, which is the darkest, evidently, the darkest time of the day, 12:01. Because we're not going to see the light, depending on what time of year, we're not going to see the light unless it's the summertime. What, six and a half more hours after that we'll see the evidence of the light and what God was saying in his word, that weeping may endure in the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And what he was saying was this, that if you've got me, you don't need to see light to have joy. Because joy comes in the morning. Joy is 12, the morning comes at 12:01. So what that tells me, that it can be the darkest, physically darkest time of the day. But if I got Jesus, I've got light. And I can be happy. And I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to walk around defeated. When we grasp that, we realize that we've got God, and we know that God is the giver of light, and light is gives life, then we would be less depressed. Some of our greatest people that I've ever met in my life, some of the greatest men and women of God, one of them, can I just use it? Sister Dean, my goodness, I've seen her go through a lot of pain, and a lot of sorrow, a lot of sickness, and a lot of suffering, and a lot of heartache, and her kids and going through things. And before she died, she suffered a great deal before she died. But the one thing I do know about Sister Dean is this, that she understood her power source despite the condition in which she lived. And I saw her smile in the hardest part of her life. Why? Because she understood that the life that she received didn't come from this world. It came from Jesus. That's why Paul and Silas had the ability to be a light in a dark prison where they were chained, beaten, and beyond all recognition, chained to a prison wall. I mean, most of us would just get depressed, sing a country song, and get all down in the dumps and just give up on life. What Paul and Silas do, said, you know what? We don't have to see the chains fall off before we're going to start worshiping. We're going to worship because God's worthy. Because I've got light. And so, since God is light, we'll find that, let's just name him. His name is Jesus. John 8 and 12 says, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of this world. Bible says he came into his own received him not. This Jesus came into this dark world. It's a sad thing. Hear me. Nobody in the world can convince me that they didn't recognize him. I've heard people say, well, they didn't know who he was. They knew who he was. This world was full of complete darkness. And that baby boy in that manger, Herod knew who he was because the light followed him. Where'd they follow? They followed the what? The star. They followed the light. He was the light of the world. He came and he lit this world up. They knew who he was. Let me tell you why they killed him. They didn't kill him because they didn't know who he was, or they was agnostic and didn't know if he was who he... They questioned, well, he was a powerful God. I'll tell you why they killed him. Because he didn't fit their narrative in this world. And so they killed him in hopes that maybe God the Father would send them another. But there's no way in the world, Brother Krause, that they could look at this light, this pure light. He said, I am the light. According to John 8 and 12, he said, I am the light. There is no way in the world that anybody can convince me that this light that shined up in the dark world, they didn't know who he was. They knew who he was. My goodness. Finally took some hard-headed, knucklehead centurion soldier after he died and the earthquake fell. And after he died, darkness fell and the earthquake happened and it trembled. What'd he say? Surely this must be the Son. But this world knew who he was. Who but God could walk on water? And what manner of man could speak to the wind and the wind obey him, and speak to the waves and the waves obey him, and speak to the dead in tombs and they walk out? They knew who he was because they simply could not deny the darkness. He said, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So it's very, very possible. And I know this is not a deep message. It's very, very possible, Brother Chris, that despite COVID, despite all the racial tension in this world, despite all the bad things that's going on, and let's just bring it even home, despite the pain and sickness Brother Rick Graves is having, Brother Floyd's having, Sister Sims is having, Brother and Sister Sheets is having with their children, and everybody, Sister Donna and Sister Roland, the battles that we fight, I'm not joyful about those things, but I am rejoiceful that despite your problems, and your problems and your pain, that I follow after Jesus because he's the light. I've seen people I can't for the life of me, Brother Elliot, figure out why in the world people want to backslide and walk right back into darkness. I'm not talking about not mess. I've seen people fail, mess up. I fell and messed up myself and had bad attitudes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that just say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with God. What you're saying is I want to walk right back in darkness. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Why would you want to be in the darkness? He just said it. But he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In Jesus Christ, there is light and there is life. When we get to heaven, there will be no need for the sun. That sun that we see in the day. Because we'll be with the Lamb, the Bible says, and He's the Lamb of the light thereof. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So we won't need to have a light switch. We're going to have Jesus right with us. That's an amazing thought to know that we'll not be in darkness forever. We'll never see it. Who is the Lamb? It's Jesus. Jesus is the light source. Just as God chose the Son to light the world, Jesus has now chosen us to be the light of the world. And I said all that. Here I am. I'm at the end of my message here. Listen to me. So many times we'll walk through life and go, how in the world can I influence my family? How can I influence? How can I make a difference in our world? That's why I love our young people. This is the mindset of Jake and Brianna and Dara and Corbin and all these, David J, these kids, Tyler and young Krauss boys, all the young people. This is their mindset: is I want to go to the Philippines, I want to go to Ethiopia, I want to go and be a part of that missions team. I'll tell you why: because they understand that even though they're made to a lot of people very insignificant, no money, no popularity, not much influence or power or fame. But they just understand that God has made them a light in a dark world. And that is why those kids, they just believe it. The Bible talks about the faith of a little child. And if you study that, you'll realize that a little child just understands and knows that they are an influencer. And that despite what they lack as far as money and popularity, that they can be an influence in this dark world. It's a powerful thing. And if you ever would ever realize how much of an influence you are to people, it'd blow your mind. So I'm going to put some of you on the spot. How many of you ever have just felt so insecure? We're looking at about 100%. Some of them didn't raise their hands. How many of you ever felt insecure? How many of you ever felt insignificant? I mean, it makes sense. It's one of us in a world of 7 billion people almost. How can we influence this world? But let me ask you the same people. How many of you ever? I'm not asking you. You're never going to be perfect. You're never perfect, and you're not going to be perfect until you get to heaven. But let me ask you a question. The same people. How many of you ever had anybody come to you and say, will you pray for my mom? Will you pray for my dad? Will you pray for me because I'm sick in the hospital? Come on. Why in the world don't they call the law professors and call all the smart people at Indiana University? Why do they call you? You ever ask yourself that question? Why are you asking me? Because at times you probably don't feel like you're capable of even praying for yourself. The fact is, how people view you. When you are touched by Jesus and you have the Holy Ghost, you automatically, whether you think it or whether you believe it or not, you are an influencer and you are a light. The devil can spot you. He knows exactly who you are. I don't care how weak you think you are, and I don't care if you feel like you don't have much talent. I'm telling you, if you have the Holy Ghost, you have more power inside of you, inside of your heart than every devil in hell. You are an influencer. Why? Because you are a child of light. Mentioned earlier that darkness is the absence of light. And the only reason that you are not effective in your world is because somehow you've covered that up. The Bible talks about, there's a lot of scripture, and I could get back into that, and I don't have a lot of time, but the Bible talks about hiding our light. And hiding who we are. Because it's very, very possible that you can disguise who you are. It was when Joseph finally saw his father, Jacob, for the first time. He sees him. And he hadn't, 12 years, something like that. He hadn't seen his father. And his father comes to him. And he embraces him. And it's a big reunion. They're standing smack dab in the middle of Egypt. And one of the first things that comes out of Joseph's mind to his father, this breaks my heart. He says, "Dad, they know who we are." He's talking about Egypt. "Dad, they know who I am, and they know who you are, Dad, and they know who our brothers are. And so what we want to do is, to the best of our ability, we want to put our light out and we want to hide who we are." And the fact is, he was thinking of themselves and eating, and he was obviously wealthy. He wanted to stay wealthy. That was, we don't preach that and think about that, but that was a very selfish thing to do. He wasn't kingdom minded at the time. He was so used to living in Pharaoh's house, being the second one in charge, and he had all this power. It went to his head. I know it went to his head, because the fact is, he said, "Dad, when they ask you, what is your occupation? Hide, don't tell them, Dad, that you're a shepherd." Because Egypt, you read it. He said, "Egypt thinks shepherds are an abomination." Egypt stood for bondage. Egypt stood for the world. And they said, what he was saying was, "They know we're different. And we stick out like a sore thumb here, Dad. And they don't like us." And so he said, "I want you to hide, disguise who you are. Because if you come in here, you're going to be an influencer." He didn't want to affect them in any way. So he hid what he said. He thought the Egyptians thought that they were an abomination. And I asked this question. I've never heard it preached, but I asked this question. Why in the world would you want Egypt to accept you anyway? Because you weren't designed for Egypt. That's not who you are. It may have helped you for a while, but sadly, if you do the study, let's do the timeline. It became a place of solitude. It became a place of security. It became a place of salvation. But they stayed there a long time, and then it became their prison. And a lot of them, it became their grave. And it was simply because a son looked at his dad and said, "Dad, don't show him your light." Because he realized the influence. I mean, you got to hear this. It's a powerful concept. He understood that if you begin to show them who you are, we could literally change them. We could change the world. And he said, "I don't want you showing them who you are." And Jacob understood. His dad. I've been calling him Jacob. It's Jacob. Jeez. Hear me. His dad understood the magnitude of it, because he points to his son not long after that. And he said, "Son," he said, "when I die," he said, "I don't want you to bury me here. And I ask this question. If it's not good enough to be dead there, it sure isn't good enough to live there. But he didn't listen to the undertones of what his father was saying. What his father was saying, look, you need to get out of here because you're a light and you don't belong in this dark world. And that just goes to show him. I went through all that to tell you how powerful you are. You are an influencer of light. Don't you dare let the world take your light from you and tell you you're not good enough. You are a powerful man or woman of God. See, in the economy of the world, and I'm coming to a close, I could preach for an hour right now. I feel strong. I was feeling very tired. In the economy of the world, they look at the church, and to a certain party, and I'm not going to get political, but a certain party that I don't vote for, looks at the church that we are uneducated, knucklehead, ignorant, dumb, rednecks, or whatever you want to call yourself, but you're country bumpkin, Bible thumping Christians from the Bible Belt, and you're dumb, and that's the way some of those people think, the uneducated, and there's no way in the world that you should even be voting for a president because you're ignorant and you're dumb. I've heard it. I've seen it. I've seen people post it on Facebook. They think the world thinks the church has no power. They think we have lost it. They think we're ignorant and they think we're unlearned. Just like the people on the day of Pentecost when they walked in there and seen those Galileans speaking in tongues in their language and said, aren't these men ignorant and unlearned? How can they have an influence? I'll tell you what happened. They saw the light land on their head, a fire set up on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost as the Spirit gave the utterance. Guess what happened? They changed the world. And they, they changed the world, ignorant and unlearned and all. Matter of fact, and I'm coming too close, I want you to stand. Matter of fact, hear me. When they heard that Jesus was coming, the light of the world, they said, Jesus of Nazareth coming. One guy said, Nazareth? What was the question that he asked him? What good could even come out of Nazareth? You mean to tell me that the light that you're talking about, that shine in the world, the light is going to come from Nazareth? The reason why he said that was because Nazareth, really quick history lesson, Nazareth was the place of Zebulun. It was the least of the inheritance. When the inheritance was given out, Zebulun was the least of it. Guess where it was? The land of the Galileans, the ignorant and unlearned. That's why he was so shocked when he found out that the light of the world would come out of Nazareth. That's why he asked the question, what good can even come out of Nazareth? It was the least of everything. It was a place that nobody was proud of. It was a place, it was just backwoodsy. It was the Kentucky. What good could come out of Henderson, Kentucky? Just kidding. No, I'm saying you are the light of the world, Sister Laurie. And it's amazing that you. Seriously. No, and all joking, we've heard people say, Greene County. You're from Greene County. That's the way they saw Nazareth. And that's where the light was coming from. But hear me, the light came from an insignificant place, but it had an everlasting impact on a world. So it tells me everything. If you haven't heard anything what I say, if you've come out of a broken home, you got the Holy Ghost, you're powerful. If you come out of a broken situation, you got the Holy Ghost, you're powerful. Say it. Say what you want. I don't know too many people can preach better than Jeff Arnold. Jeff Arnold was a drunk, an alcoholic. You listen to his testimony. His wife was a little girl that came off, an orphan maybe. Was it? But anyway, either way, she was on the bus ministry. They were alcoholics. Her life was falling apart. They were nothing. And my goodness, you listen to him preaching. He came out of Nazareth. And he's just so happened to be a vessel that said, I'm willing to go and say and do whatever you want me to do. And that's what God wants out of his people. So many times we don't end up being what God called us to be because we are so image conscious. But here's another message for another time. I'm just going to say it. How many times have you been sitting in your pew and you feel the anointing come over you and you felt like running or shouting or dancing in a service? It's went through your mind. And you didn't do it. Could it be that God wants you, a light, a child of the light, to let go? And you, there's no telling what would happen if you would submit to Jesus and be what God called you to be. Light can only. I got so much I could preach on. Light. Look, we are children of the light. Satan, same way. He had jewels on him. He was a reflector of light within him. The Bible says within his front part of him, he had emeralds and diamonds and rubies. Hear me. They were reflectors of light, but they weren't givers of light. And the only time he was anything was when he was in the presence of God. That's why he got mad when he turned around. He wasn't in God's presence. He realized he wasn't nothing. But what got kicked him out of heaven is he tried to do it on his own, tried to be something that he wasn't. My point is this, that if we would ever be under submission to the light and let the light shine through us, we would set this world on fire. We would set it on fire. Man, I got so much I could preach. Bless you in Jesus' name. I'm not apologizing because I went over because Brother Krause, he testified a lot longer tonight, but he did awesome. Bless you in Jesus' name. And you be safe going home. Amen.